Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is it fair to say the Redskins are not prioritizing Dwayne Haskins' development this offseason? That was said yesterday on this station. We've got the audio. We'll play it for you on Grant and Danny coming up in about 11 minutes. But right now we kick off the Beltway Blitz, and we'll get to the Caps and another huge win in a moment, but we start on the gridiron. Chris Russell is one of our Redskins insiders, slash Scott Turner, not Kevin O'Connell, as an offensive coordinator. Your thoughts on the change on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, I mean, you look at it from a couple of different ways. You look at Scott Turner as a guy who truly wanted to be here, who's comfortable with Ron Rivera, who improved as the quarterback's coach. Cam Newton's accuracy over a largely two-year sample size, who just got his feet wet in terms of play calling last December, ironically, of course, after Ron was fired in Carolina. So he's never really called a game offensively with Ron Rivera as the head coach. So there might be that awkward transition. But we know where he's from. We know who his dad is. We know his connections. It looks like Ken Zampezi certainly is going to come in and help him. That's an interesting situation because they've known each other forever. And Zampezi interviewed actually here last year. And then the downside of it is, and I was writing the same thing that you guys were talking about yesterday as you were talking about it, and it's the only thing I can think of. It's year one to year two. Grant, you know, we've always been told this by the Shanahans and McVay and Jay and all these guys. That is the largest growth period for a quarterback, and now Dwayne Haskins basically has to not completely hit the reset button, but in terms of terminology, if it's not a new scheme, it's certainly a new language or at least a new dialect. And instead of getting better, now he's got to hit the reset button.
Russell, the wild card to me is what's going on with Trent Williams. It sounds like Ron Rivera is going to make every effort to bring him back into the fold.
Yeah,
that's a noble gesture. That's cool. I'd like him to be cool with the Redskins. I'd also really like him to be traded for the best possible value so they can get younger and start this rebuild in earnest. I get that it's hard to replace a player like that, but man, oh man, you got some mileage there. You got a bunch of issues potentially. What's going on there? What are you hearing?
Yeah, so one thing the thing I keep hearing from his side is finally some optimism, right? Which you didn't get during the whole entire process. Now, optimism is only just that. There was optimism as recently as, what, Saturday or Sunday that Kevin O'Connell was staying as the offensive coordinator. So I don't believe anything until I see it or until I have more concrete information. But what I do feel is going to happen here, Danny, is we're going to get a resolution. Like, my fear, and I'm sure I said it to you guys at one point, was if Bruce would have stayed, I don't know if Trent would have played again this year, and I don't know if he would have been traded. But now I feel like it's either, hey, big fella, come back and play with us. We'll deal with something with the contract, or we're going to trade you. Basically, your decision. Now, it might not be all his decision, because I think the only way he's coming back is if the Redskins, at the very minimum, fully guarantee his upcoming year's salary, meaning not on September 5th or whatever week one is, which it normally is for a vested veteran. I'm talking about, like, say, March 1st or March 15th, like where they're going to have to guarantee that $12.5 million base salary for Trent to walk in the door. That's what I think is going to have to happen. Otherwise, you got to trade him. and you got to try and recoup a mid, low second round pick, because I don't see you getting a high second round pick or first round pick at this point.
How do you feel about the staff overall? Del Rio, Nate Caxer staying, all the things that they've done.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys have been with Ron for forever in Charlotte. The new guys that are coming in, Sam Mills and all these guys. But the big names, I mean, who could go wrong with keeping the special teams coordinator from last year, Caxer, who walked into a dream situation with the three guys that he gets to work with largely, and then added Steven Sims to the fold, right? So that's obviously a plus. You get a little continuity there. Do I love losing O'Connell? Of course not. But I understand the whole deal with Scott Turner and everything around that moving forward. And as far as Del Rio goes, listen, I'm not going to be a jerk, but it's a monster upgrade from Greg Minuski. That's all there is. Now, the only defensive assistant that I'm, kind of bummed about missing is Jim Tomsula, who looks like, oh, by the way, he's going to join the Dallas Cowboys.
Russell, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Let's talk some hockey, Thumb. This show has an uncle. His name is Rob Carlin. Rob, I think it was the end of the first period or so. Caps are down 1-0, kind of sluggish. I went and put the kids to bed, came back down. It was 5-1. Whoa. That looked right, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they were supposed to beat that team that way. Took a little while, the first period. Ottawa was playing a smart game. They were just dropping five guys back into their zone and just suffocating the center of the ice. And Allen was pointing all that out to them. He kept saying they're trying to do these stretch passes and there's just nothing there. And there was concern of, like, if Ottawa scores another goal, this is a disaster. But, yeah, once again, a latest example of the coaching staff going in between periods, making adjustments, and they came out a totally different team. And that different team was, oh, we've got, like, seven world-class players. You don't have any. And by the end, the game played out the way it was supposed to play out.
Rob, two things can be true. I spend a lot of my time, like you do, trying to calm people down who are willing to now trade Braden Holtby or want to get rid of him or bench him or whatever. But it is also true that Ilya Samsonov is better right now and has been better this season. He has been fantastic. What a year he's having. How do you kind of sort things out moving forward and prioritize, getting Holtby back to being himself, knowing your best-case scenario is that one of the great playoff goalies ever is peaking and starting come the postseason?
The same way in 2018, everyone was ready to trade Braden Holtby and everyone was ready to get rid of Brooks Orpik. And my answer to that is always, as it was with Orpik in 2018, if you jettison Orpik, Drew Doughty does not come in and take his spot. It's some dude at Hershey. And while I agree that Samsonov is playing better than Holtby right now, Holtby still made two world-class saves the other day in overtime to allow that incredible comeback to be finished the way it was. If either one of those breakaways go in, it's an afterthought in our memory banks. But he made those two big saves in those big moments. And if you were to do that, right, for the fans that tweet at me and tweet at you about trade Holtby now, get something for him, you want to take this team on their Stanley Cup run with Samsonov and Phoenix Copley or Samsonov and Vitek Vanacek? Because Grubauer's game went south quick in game two of round one of the Cup run. And if that same thing were to happen to Samsonov, you really want to put this – last run for this core group of guys on Vitek Vanacek, because again, Jonathan Quick isn't coming through the door. So you always have to say what's next. And right now we don't have to, I know I heard you guys talking the other day about a topic. I don't remember what it was. Is this just great sports talk radio or is this a real thing? This is sports talk radio stuff. They've got two good goalies, one who's won a Vezina and a Stanley Cup. You don't have to do anything. Just
correct.
Stay as is. You've got a team that can win a Stanley Cup.
I'm 100% with you. By the way, admit that you just wanted to say Vitek Vanacek three times.
I did. That was an extra bonus that I was very happy about.
It's an awesome name to get to say. Watch Rob tonight. His pregame show starts at 7 ahead of the puck drop at 7:30. The Caps are in Philly for a rare Metro game against the Flyers, but they're starting to play more of these, luckily.
It's very division-y coming up.
Finally. Rob, thank you, buddy.
Finally, yes. Some important games. Looking forward to it. All right, boys, see you.
We'll be watching you and Alan May on NBC Sports Washington tonight. Speaking of NBC Sports Washington, J.P. Finley covers the Redskins for them. He was on Chad Dukes versus the World yesterday, and he said something. I didn't hear this until Dar brought it to my attention today. We'll play the audio for you about Dwayne Haskins that really, really surprised me. I don't completely agree with. I don't know where you're at on this. We'll find out, Danny, and we will get some calls on this next. It's about Haskins and how important it is for the Redskins that he develops. JP is a little skeptical that they care as much about that as they should. You're listening to The Fan. The Redskins have made it official. Scott Turner, the son of Norval Eugene Turner, who grew up in the area, living in Vienna when his dad was the head coach of the Redskins, is the new offensive coordinator in Washington. His first mission and task is going to be to help design an offense that is going to put Dwayne Haskins in a position to be more successful than he was last year and to carry over what he did in his last two games, one full start against Philly and then one half of football against the Giants before he got banged up, where he looked pretty sharp and looked like an NFL starting caliber quarterback. But yesterday on 106.7, the Fan, J.P. Finley was on Chad's show. And the idea of Haskins came up, and I just want to play this and we'll react to it afterwards without kind of leading into it in any way. But this was J.P. on Chad's show talking about Haskins and where that is on the Redskins' priority list right now.
I just wonder if Dwayne Haskins' development is the number one priority for Rivera, like it kind of became last season for the staff that was here. And I don't know that answer, and that to me is a real sign also that Dan Snyder's not overly meddling, because we know last year there was plenty of reporting that Snyder wanted Haskins and made sure they were going to draft Haskins. But now, if nothing else, you've gone away from the guy that Haskins experienced a little bit of success with. I would say developed the only real kind of bond he had with a coach was with Kevin O'Connell. And now that guy's gone. You got a new guy who might be entirely capable of doing it. I mean, this is a guy that worked with Teddy Bridgewater and Cam Newton and has a long track record. I mean, a reasonably long track record of working with quarterbacks. He was a quarterback at UNLV, Scott Turner. So it'd be silly to dismiss his ability to work with Haskins. But I just wonder, I think last week I would have said 100% this is Dwayne Haskins' team, right before Ron Rivera spoke. Then Ron Rivera spoke, and he talked to you about Alex Smith and Colt McCoy and Case Keenum. So then you're like, huh, maybe we're at 97% this is Dwayne Haskins' team. Now you get rid of the coordinator that had been linked, right or wrong, with Haskins. And Dukes, this is the crazy part, man. They're sitting there at number two, and now Tua's coming out in the draft. And I don't think we're going down this road, but all of a sudden other questions are going to enter into the conversation, assuming Tua gets a full bill of health, that probably weren't coming into the conversation a week ago.
So first thing I'll say is obviously JP's not reporting any of this, right? I think sometimes when someone's a reporter and they're on the air, we say, oh, JP report. He's not reporting that they're out on Haskins or that they're lowering their opinion of him. You could hear in the tone of the conversation, he's kind of thinking out loud.
Let's raise this possibility.
Right.
Which is perfectly fine. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Do you buy the premise that Haskins is not a major priority for them right now, that they're putting that on the back burner? Because that's kind of how he started this, saying it wasn't the number one priority, that they've gone away from that being their major emphasis. Because I disagree with that premise. Not to say I think JP's super plugged in, but he keeps referring to O'Connell as that they got rid of him. I think O'Connell left. I know that he did not want to be here that badly. In fact, there's been a couple times in the past where he tried to get out of here, and they didn't let him.
Right.
Now you've got a new head coach, and you're kind of tearing off the Band-Aid. You can phrase this as basically they got rid of O'Connell if you want to. I don't think that's what just happened. I'll tell you that. I think O'Connell left here.
So you start to do a couple of the dominoes as to how we got here and what these things mean. I think if Ron Rivera stands up at his introductory press conference and then when he's on with Chad, going, I can't wait to work with Dwayne Haskins. This kid's going to be a star. He was complimentary of him, by the way. Said he's got all the tools to be a franchise QB, and he said those things right. But if he'd said, yeah, we got to get him into our offense, our system, and develop him, and he is the guy, and I'm very confident in him. Had he done that, this conversation isn't happening. But because he did, in what my view is the everybody's got to earn it for me, everybody from the intern that's stapling the papers together to you know, the general manager, the president, to me, my staff, players, everybody's got to do the right things here for us to start winning. That includes the hotshot quarterback. I think that's coach speak. But But it left open the door for these sorts of, again, I'm not trying to dismiss anything, but these sorts of theories, these sorts of ideas, these sorts of contextual clues as to what's really going on here. So if we believe the following, okay, and I'm just sort of, I'm thinking out loud as I go to with this conversation. If we believe the following, given number one, Ron Rivera right now and for the next several years has ultimate say. If we agree to that, yes, yes, okay. Step number two, Ron Rivera can absolutely decide if he has ultimate authority that I don't want to be in business with Dwayne Haskins. He's allowed to do that if he has ultimate authority. Step three, Ron Rivera, if he wants to, because he has this authority, can say, I would like to draft Justin Herbert. I'd like to draft Tua Tagovailoa. We're happy because the head coach is empowered to do the things that he wants to do. So because you've got those assignments and you've got that ability of Ron Rivera to do that, I think, again, these doors are now open because of what he said or didn't say at his press conference.
So you agree with that part, that all those doors become open? Because I think those are just scalding hot fodder takes. So you know, those are click takes. Those are sports talk radio takes. Like, you and I could do a topic right now and say, will the Redskins consider drafting a quarterback at two? And who knows, with news that comes out as it becomes more or less relevant, maybe we'll ultimately do that. But that's not a realistic, plausible, real-world thing.
Right. For
they
me,
just
I don't
drafted
buy this.
A quarterback right. In week 15 and week 16. He played really well. We know the owner wants this guy badly to be the quarterback here. You just hired a head coach. He's going to play this season, I would have to imagine. Now, is it a slam dunk that they don't? Is it 100% certain? No, but if there's a couple of percent chance that they draft a quarterback, is it worth spending a lot of time talking about? I'm asking questions. I don't know the answer.
Right, right.
I can tell you that I completely categorically disagree with the idea, though, that because Ron Rivera didn't completely back Dwayne Haskins, now we can leap to the idea that he doesn't like Dwayne Haskins. I'm not saying JP did that
at all,
but some people are doing that. I heard this yesterday. A lot of Redskins fans, I've seen this online. Ron Rivera is not really a Dwayne Haskins guy. Says who? Where are you getting that? Because he did the coach speak answer at the press conference, and I was the first one to come out and say I was surprised that he did that. I'm with JP. I thought he was going to come out and say, I love Haskins. He's the franchise quarterback. He's the guy of the future. It's going to be awesome to win a lot of games with him here. That's what I thought he was going to do. It's probably what I would have done if I was Ron Rivera. He had two options, and he chose the other one, which was, we still have Alex Smith. What about Colt McCoy and Case Keenum if they come back? So he definitely left open the possibility for discussions about the quarterback. But don't you think it's just a gigantic leap to now say Rivera may not be a Haskins guy? That's ultra aggressive to me.
That specifically is just looking for something definitive before we even have a practice, before anybody's gotten together in shorts in Florida to throw to each other, right? I mean, we're just so desperate for information on this. I think, and I don't want to put words in JP's mouth, but follow me here. I think this would be the logical train that gets us to those comments. Number one, we mentioned the press conference and then subsequent interview with Chad, where he said or didn't say certain things. Right? You and I go, I can understand that. That's coach speak. You had a road you could have gone down, you didn't. I have no problem with it, by the way. I'm not angry about what Ron Rivera said or didn't say. That's number one. And then number two, if you don't buy what you're saying in terms of Kevin O'Connell wanting to leave and the Redskins were just like, yeah, fine, go, quote unquote, getting rid of him, you add those two things together, I could see you could come up with this question. I don't think it's crazy. Now, again, I don't buy it. I disagree because I happen to be in your camp about Kevin O'Connell writing on the wall, it's time for me to fly, dude. I need to get the heck out of here for a million reasons. Better ops elsewhere.
Yeah, because, and that's my point. The question's legit. We're asking the question for that reason. My point is the things that aren't legit, and again, this isn't what JP said. This is the leaps that fans are making.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, Ron Rivera doesn't really like Dwayne Haskins or he wouldn't have said that. That's not true.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Most coaches say what Ron Rivera said in that press conference because he did the old school, the quarterback's the same as the long snapper move. He did the quarterback and the fourth safety on my group in the position group and on defense are the same exact guy. He did that thing,
yep.
Which isn't true, and I don't agree with it, but that's what he did. And there's nothing wrong with that. 800-636-1067 is the number. Do you buy that Haskins has become less a priority or that his stranglehold on the starting job has lessened? Maybe that's the best way to put this out of the JP comment. That maybe his stranglehold on this job has lessened in the last couple of weeks with the Rivera hire and Scott Turner coming in and Kevin O'Connell leaving. And that's another small issue I would take with what you heard audio-wise. I don't think they got rid of Kevin O'Connell. At best, you could say it was mutual, but Kevin O'Connell was trying to get out of Washington from everything I heard. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Has Dwayne Haskins standing as the number one unquestioned quarterback on the team changed at all? Did you take any issue with Ron Rivera saying what he did about Haskins at his press conference, not backing him and celebrating him as the guy for the next several years? And lastly, with O'Connell out and Turner in, is that a sign maybe that Haskins is not as locked in as perhaps we thought he was for this coming season? Grant and Danny on The Fan. Andy Benoit forever was at the MMQB and SI, one of the smartest X's and O's film reviewing football analysts in the country, will join us at 1. We are going to ask him to give us a detailed breakdown on what Scott Turner is conceptually and what he is as an offensive coordinator. So if you want a deep dive on the new play caller and coordinator of the Redskins offense, Benoit will give it to us. Also, what kind of fit will he be with Dwayne Haskins? We're going to find that coming up in 25 minutes right here on Grant and Danny. So here's what's happened since Ron Rivera got hired on the Dwayne Haskins front. He came out and said, when asked about Haskins, that he thinks he could be a franchise quarterback, but that he's going to have to earn the starting spot just like everybody else, essentially. He said nothing is going to be given. In fact, he doubled down on that when he went on Chad's show and talked about Alex Smith, Case Keenum, not under contract, Colt McCoy, not under contract, all his possibilities at quarterback. And he said that essentially we'll find out as we go and the best guy is going to play. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
Coaches say that kind of thing all the time.
That's why it's called coach speak.
However, they don't always say that going into the sophomore year after a 15th overall pick was drafted and then trended in the right direction at the end of the season. Normally, when you draft a guy and he starts the second half of the year going into year two, there's not talk about that guy having to compete. There's not a coach saying, well, we got a bunch of guys on the roster. Normally, that guy's just the starter. So that raised some eyebrows. Since then, offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell has left, and Scott Turner has been brought in. And this was J.P. Finley, who is super plugged in, reports on the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington with Chad on this station yesterday.
I just wonder if Dwayne Haskins' development is the number one priority for Rivera, like it kind of became last season for the staff that was here. And I don't know that answer. And that, to me, is a real sign also that Dan Snyder's not overly meddling. Because we know last year there was plenty of reporting that Snyder wanted Haskins and made sure they were going to draft Haskins. But now, if nothing else, you've gone away from the guy that Haskins experienced a little bit of success with, I would say developed the only real kind of bond he had with a coach was with Kevin O'Connell. And now that guy's gone. You got a new guy who might be entirely capable of doing it. I mean, this is a guy that worked with Teddy Bridgewater and Cam Newton and has a long track record. I mean, a reasonably long track record of working with quarterbacks. He was a quarterback at UNLV, Scott Turner. So it'd be silly to dismiss his ability to work with Haskins. But I just wonder, I think last week I would have said 100% this is Dwayne Haskins' team, right before Ron Rivera spoke. Then Ron Rivera spoke, and he talked to you about Alex Smith and Colt McCoy and Case Keenum. So then you're like, huh, maybe we're at 97%. This is Dwayne Haskins' team. Now you get rid of the coordinator that had been linked, right or wrong, with Haskins. And Dukes is the crazy part, man. They're sitting there at number two, and now Tua's coming out in the draft. And I don't think we're going down this road, but all of a sudden other questions are going to enter into the conversation, assuming Tua gets a full bill of health, that probably weren't coming into the conversation a week ago.
So that was JP on Chad's show. So I guess the question is this. Do you feel any worse about Haskins' stranglehold on his job going into next season since the Rivera hiring, yes or no? My answer is absolutely not.
I would say no to that as well. The only caveat I offer is there is a slight potential for a door to open to a different direction, but I don't think that's the path they're choosing. I don't. I think we have coach speak and a circumstance where the OC wanted to get out of here. I think that's what it is.
He floated there at the end the idea, essentially, that they could draft Tua at number two, I mean, which would just turn the whole thing on its head. I can't see it, but it's fun to talk about, and it's worth asking about. Not necessarily the trading for of the pick to move back or drafting Tua, but just in general, has anything that Rivera said, anything that's happened, made you feel like maybe this isn't a done deal, kind of putting in paper, in Sharpie at this point, on paper? Let's go to Chad in Rockville. How are you, Chad?
Hey, good, good. How are you? I'm in the middle on this one. I don't think it's coach speak, personally, and I don't think he's anti-Dwayne. I think he's taken a wait-and-see approach for this year because, look, I mean, I think he looks like a pretty passionate guy that wants to be successful as a head coach here. And he didn't draft Haskins, and I don't think he wants to tie his career or stay with the Redskins to Haskins. I think he's a little bit cautious that, you know, Haskins hasn't proved anything yet. And if he's not the guy, I don't think he wants to 100% go all in on him. So I think my personal opinion is they do not even consider drafting a quarterback this year just because that's a move that would be he's anti. I don't think he is. But I think I wouldn't be shocked at all that if we don't do well this year, that they go quarterback immediately next year and he makes a move quick to determine that Haskins is not his guy. And I don't think he wants a situation where he's tied to Haskins.
Well, of course. If they don't win as many games as Rivera wants because of the play at the quarterback position this coming year and Haskins struggles again, then he will have had a year and a half. He'll be 2 years in. There will have had now two regimes asking him major questions. Of course, at that point, they'd be looking for a quarterback. Our question is, do you think there's any chance that that's already happening, or is this Haskins' team and all of this is just silly? Colin, Clinton.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. For me, I'm all about culture. I've called before. I'm so interested in, you know, the longtime D.C., you know, fan and resident growing up here to see how this culture changed, like, manifests. So, you know, I look at what Ron Rivera said. You know, he's all about leadership. He's got the military background. He wants discipline. He wants work ethic. You know, and that doesn't really sound like Dwayne Haskins. So for that reason, I mean, like, I just think it's really interesting to think about what Ron Rivera's reasoning is as opposed to, like, maybe what the analytics or some of these other, like, reasonings might suggest.
I think he showed leadership at times last year. I thought you saw him on the sideline a whole lot with his receivers. I mean, his receivers, when the season ended, were already talking about getting together and meeting with him to go throw. I think he's very well-liked, particularly by the young guys, like Harmon, like McLaurin, who he played in college with. In the locker room, I think he had some things to prove and to show the veterans because, to your point early on, a lot of the people, some were players, most were coaches that I talked to about his work habits and his professionalism and how much he was grinding and studying. You know, that may not have been on the level that it needed to be, and I think some of his teammates were kind of almost with an eyebrow up going, does he really get it? Is this guy the guy? But I have to imagine, based on the performance at least, that improved as the year went along.
Yeah, from all, again, this is, it's all anecdotal because nobody's going to be on the record and be like, yeah, that guy didn't work hard, you know, but the Les Carpenter story that you saw at various points and some.
What was that one? I don't even remember that.
That was the people question his work habits, basically, at kind of middle of the season. And you look at, you know, we're trying to get as much information as we can, right? So the camera cuts to him on the sideline as two quarterbacks are frantically poring over a Microsoft Surface. He's not paying attention. I think that stuff changed. This is, you know, a rookie learning how to play in this league. You learn a lot of things. You learn where the pass goes against a certain coverage. You also learn how to work hard. I mean, as you advance in school, as you advance in your life, and you become more mature, you figure out what it takes for you to be successful. Part of that is your habits. Part of that is what time you get to the office every day. You know yourself. And I think he grew as the season went on. I think the proof was in the pudding, as you said, in terms of the results.
Let's go to Margo. Margo, I'm sure. God.
Why is the carpet wet, Todd?
I haven't really spoken correctly this entire sentence, this entire segment.
Good Lord, dude.
What's happening to me? Tom, what's happening to me? Tom just looked at me like, is he okay? Is he having an aneurysm?
Tom had a moment in there.
I mean, seriously, I think I've botched 8 words this segment alone. It's unbelievable. Happy birthday, New Year. Mark in Largo.
Hey, Margo.
Or Margo,
Margo,
as it were.
Hey, you know, I think, how you doing, Grant? Happy New Year, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got to go take my lap for my gasser, but I'm listening.
It's okay. Look, let me say this. I think Ron was putting him on notice. You just got to work harder. And I do think Dwayne, as we were going down the stretch, did a lot of things that were different. I think Ron is going to be that's Ron Rivera who we saw. But I also think that Dwayne Haskins has got to earn what he's got to earn. But I think he's trying to earn. I think he's doing things that he's trying to get better. Now, this talk about Tua and this talk about – I'm glad I got you guys up here and Burrow – the kid Burrow from, you know, by the way, I know this is sacrilegious to say, you do know Dwayne Haskins beat the
yes,
kid Burrow.
Yes, Mark,
from,
we
you know that, right?
A bunch of years ago in a college offense when he was recruited higher than him.
I'm just saying.
We remember.
I'm just saying that
yes.
We will get, let's see what this kid gets with a full season. I think the Redskins will be a lot better, and I think that he's going to be fine. We just need to give him time. But we just can't microanalyze everything that Ron Rivera says. And I think, and on another note, this will be real quick. I don't think J.P. Finley would have gave that interview on your show compared to Chad.
What do you mean?
Because you guys are in the middle with Dwayne Haskins. I think the junkies are in the middle with Dwayne Haskins. Chad wants to get rid of him right now.
No, that's not true. Chad.
No, it is. It is.
That's
he
not
talks
true.
Like he does.
Mark, no, people think I want to get rid of him. They hear what they want to hear. I've heard Chad praise him after wins, and I've heard Chad bash him after losses. And guess what? For the first several games, he sucked. He was terrible. The last 2 games, he was really good. So people after – go back and listen. People are like, man, you killed Dwayne Haskins. You really don't like him. I'm just talking about how he's playing. He's been awful. Oh, by the way, I talk to coaches every day who tell me he's not any good and doesn't work very hard. Now, later in the year – when he is working harder and playing better, I like him more. Weird. So, no, that's not fair. I'll let Chad speak for himself, but I don't like when people do that to me, and so I'm just going to defend him a little bit while he's not here.
I echo what you just said there. Yeah.
The idea that he wants to get rid of Dwayne Haskins, I think, is incorrect, number one. Number two, going back to the actual conversation, I think there were some good points made. The only thing I'll disagree with is when it comes to quarterbacks in the top 3, I think when you draft those guys there, nothing else matters. So in other words, like you wouldn't bring in a Burrow or a Tua and then with this coaching staff, like they compete with Haskins. If they were going to draft the QB, uh-huh. Haskins is out. You're just trading him. You're not having a competition.
You're Rosening this
like
thing.
Like you're at Ohio State
yeah,
again.
You're
exactly.
Kyler Murray-ing this
You're
thing,
moving
yeah.
on. I think the chances of that are zippy. I just don't see it.
Right.
You have a million other needs, and he played really well in his last 2 games.
He's shown growth.
Don't you want to at least see where this goes? You've invested time and energy and money, and it's not like this is some dude from UTEP, as we said a million times. He threw 50 touchdowns at Ohio State. So with the college resume and now the A to B growth last season in Haskins that we all saw from the beginning where it was hard for him to walk and chew bubblegum to the end, where he was picking his spots and driving balls into small windows. I'm not sold on him at all. Don't think for a second I'm sitting here telling you that this is the guy for the future. And I love Mark as a caller. He's really, really good generally. My point is, let's wait and see where you are, but you can't bring in someone to take starts away from him. Let him play. Is there any chance that they do that? Do you think there's a chance that, forget drafting a quarterback at 2, I think ridiculous.
Right.
Do you think there's a chance they sign a veteran to compete with him? Like, I'll just throw this out here. I hate that I'm even doing this. This is not me speculating this is going to happen. But it's just the first name that came to my mind. Cam Newton, right? So Cam Newton worked with Scott Turner, worked with Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera was the biggest Cam Newton fan in the world the last few years. Would you say there's a non-zero chance that, like, they brought in Cam Newton, paid him $17 million or whatever, and on the cheap for a year, let him compete?
I'd say there's a non-zero chance.
You do?
Yeah, but I would never go to the betting window on it. I mean, do I think it's more than zero? Yes. Do I think it's more than 5 or 10%? No. But I could see it. I could. I could see the idea of bringing in a veteran to try to, again, establish. Because the big takeaway for me from what JP was saying was Now the priority, the number one priority, and in general, I'm in favor of this. The people are going to tired of this phrase, establishing the culture, establishing the culture. That's what everybody wants to do. So that may include veterans in that regard, right? If Alex Smith can't go. So I could see it. I wouldn't bet on it, though.
Mark, you're my guy. I still want to go to Topgolf with you at some point. But that does. It just frustrates me because I think people, it's like, people say that we're Redskins haters, too. Like, you guys hate the Redskins
just
so much.
Couldn't be further from the truth.
We've been on the air for 6 years. They're terrible. They haven't been good. They're firing coaches. They're firing executives. They're moving on from people. It's not because they win. We told you earlier today, they haven't won a home playoff game in 20 years. They've won one playoff game since winning that one 20 years ago today. And you think because we're negative on the show that we hate the team? No. We're negative about a quarterback so we don't like the guy? No. We would like Dwayne Haskins to have success and thrive. But we talk about what we see. He played half a season. All but two times, there were a lot of questions, mostly negative to talk about. Then there were two really good games. I'll bet you those sounded different on all the shows you listened to. The analysis should have sounded different then. G&D on the Fan. J.P. Finley on Chad Dukes versus the World yesterday talked about the Redskins quarterback situation moving forward, and he suddenly has, I wouldn't say major questions, but a little bit more curiosity about whether or not this is completely just Dwayne Haskins' show. And I'm paraphrasing. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But he said he was 100% sure, essentially, you know, that Haskins is the guy, and now maybe it's 97%. And the point is, Rivera said what he said, and now Kevin O'Connell is gone, and you're bringing in Scott Turner, and that Haskins might not be the number one priority for Ron Rivera. And look, if cleaning up the organization is number one, if the culture over the quarterback is right, what he's focusing on, that's perfectly reasonable. I think the big leap is when you start talking about the draft and, will they pick second? Could they go in a different direction? Tua declared. That kind of stuff isn't happening to me. But let me ask you this question, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Should Ron Rivera have come out and just said, basically done a WWE promo and put Dwayne Haskins over? He's my guy. I came here because I want to work with him, and he is a future Super Bowl champion. Something crazy and over the top to just completely endorse him. And if he did, would it change at all the motivation for Haskins this offseason? Did any part of what he said, do you think, was it to, by design, make him work his butt off for the next few months?
Yeah, to me, what you do publicly, what you do privately matter. Mike Shanahan at the podium, you always told me, would say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Then 10 seconds later, I'd be like, yeah, you're 100% right about that. Yeah. Off the record.
I can't tell you the number of times I'd be getting texts from people like, Shanahan bodied you. He hates you. Like, that was a dumb question. He killed you for that. And as I'm getting these texts, he's like called me over and he's like, hey, you're right. That guy is not playing as well as we need him to. And he'll kind of fill in some of the blanks.
Right. So that's the Ron Rivera I signed up for. I signed up for a disciplined Ron. I signed up for everyone's going to do the right thing all the time, Ron Rivera, because that's what needs to happen here, because it doesn't happen here. It's not some random coincidence you haven't been good in 30 years. It's not just some weird, that's bad luck. It's not. 100% the process, the culture, it stinks and has stunk. He's here to fix that. That's why you hire Ron Rivera. You don't hire him for, you know, wonderfully exciting offenses, five receiver sets and running to oop to oop. You don't hire him for that. You hire him to change the culture. So that's part of that. That coach's speak is, you know, you kind of roll your eyes at it unless you live it every day, which is what that guy does. So that, I want him to do exactly that. Now, what he says to Dwayne Haskins behind the scenes, that matters to me just as much. And we don't know the answer to that. So publicly, give me that Ron Rivera. You're damn right. Double down, triple down, everything. Everybody from the water boy to the quarterback has to do everything right all the damn time. And we strive for perfection. We strive for excellence. Behind the scenes, I hope he went to Dwayne and said, listen, I'm not giving you anything. You're in the driver's seat for it. You got a long way to go. We think you'll get there. Work your ass off, man. I'll see you at OTAs, wherever the hell the next time you can see each other. That's what I hope.
Mo and Largo likes the way Rivera has handled this and how things have gone for Haskins over the last few weeks. What's up, Mo?
Thanks, fellas, for taking my call. How y'all doing?
Hey, man. Great, buddy.
I really appreciate the fact that he's putting the young man on notice, because I feel like he stepped into the position last season with a sense of entitlement. And that could possibly translate or transcend over into this season, because you got a new head coach. He's the first-round pick. And, you know, he started to grow. So going into this season, he could kind of fall back in the same strength of things. But also, I like how that statement affects the other players on the team. Because if our first-round draft pick at quarterback is not ensured to be the starter this season, then that goes all the way down the line. And that empowers players that are second and third on the depth chart to at least feel like, you know what, I got a shot if I go out here and ball like I'm capable of. So I like the fact that he's putting them on notice, letting it be known that, yes, there is a competition. With regards to signing Cam, I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that that's possible, because in order to sign him, you'd have to sign him somewhere close to $20 million, and you still got Smith on the books for $20 million.
Cam was the first name that came to mind, but just say veteran quarterback, like someone that could actually start.
I don't see them bringing in another veteran because we still have Smith on the depth chart. We got our young rookie, and then between Keenum and Colt, one of them boys is probably going to still be here.
So I agree with you on that, but Mo spent part of that call talking about how that what Ron Rivera did sent a great message.
Yes.
Wow, if they're putting him on notice, if they're saying it's not his job.
And that's the point.
You know what would send that message even further? Would be to bring in someone and say, you got to compete with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is Case. Maybe it is Colt. And at that point, it's a quote-unquote competition. And
Eli Manning.
Haskins had better win that one.
Oh,
but
man.
My point is, I mean, how far does that go? Like, I don't believe in the manufactured message thing all the time. Could you not have done some good by empowering him as well? He's got to know, as a head coach, and he doesn't know Haskins enough yet, but there are people in the building he's talking to who do. What does he need? Does he need to be pushed? Does he need to be motivated? Does he need me to kind of dangle something in front of him, or does he need to be empowered?
You need confidence,
So maybe that was something that was discussed before he even ever stepped to the podium. Dre, Manassas, how are you?
Hey, I probably think it's his job to lose Haskins, but I think ultimately my biggest concern is for the fans. You know, make no mistake about it. You know, Kirk Cousins could easily be signed by the Redskins, but they couldn't sign Kirk Cousins after they cut RG3. The fan base wouldn't have it. My big concern with Haskins is that what he does in the offseason, things that we as fans aren't going to have a chance to see. Because I think, in January, February, March, April, when all these things are going on, you know, this is when Haskins is going to prove to Ron Rivera, I'm your guy. You know, he's going to earn he's going to earn Rivera's trust. And if he doesn't do it, then, it's up to Rivera to make the change. I don't think he's going to make the change, in this draft, but I think it's Haskins' job to lose, but he has to go out there and prove it to himself. And I think what Rivera said, not only to Haskins, but to the fan base as well, because we have to understand, the team, the franchise is kind of tied to what the fan base does or says.
Thank you, Andre. Much appreciated, buddy. And some good calls on this. Curious to see what the next move is in regard to the quarterback position.
Mm.
Do they re-up with Keenum or McCoy and bring them back now that Haskins has a new coordinator to help with that transition in year two in a second offense in the National Football League? What will Scott Turner's offense look like, and how different is it from Kevin O'Connell? We will ask Andy Benoit. Nobody studies more NFL film than him. He joins us next on the Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.